In this passage of God's word, we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul before Agrippa. He could truly say his testimony was of God's amazing grace. How that God stopped him on that Damascus road. You see, many people, when they give their testimony, tell about what they used to do and where they used to go and the depths of sin that they trod. But that was not the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man that from his youth up had been taught in Judaism, in the Jewish religion. He fervently believed everything that he was taught as a child. And now he went forward because he was not only a Jew, but he was a teacher amongst them. And yet with all of these things on that Damascus road, whenever he was traveling down that road with hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking to arrest those that professed the name of the Lord Jesus, and he would bring them back and he would persecute them, even put them not only into prison but even to death, as what happened to Stephen. And yet with all of that, the Lord stopped him on that Damascus road. He was nearing the end of his journey, and the Lord stopped him. He fell from his horse. That light from heaven that shone around him, he could not see, and he fell on the ground. And the Lord spake unto him, the blindness of his heart. The Lord said, Saul, Saul. See, the Lord called him by name. You see, there were others who were with Saul that day. But the Lord came for him. What a wonderful, amazing grace of God, friend, that God was there on that Damascus road for him. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Do you know what he answered? He said, Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Do you not see the relevance of that, friend? Here was a man that he professed to know God. Here was a man that he was a teacher among his people. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Went through all the rituals of Judaism. And yet, my friend, there, as God called him by name, he said, Who are you? You know what was missing? With all his religion, with all his rituals, he didn't know the Lord. Maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight. Maybe you've been brought up in this church. From your youngest days, you came up and you were taught in the Sunday school. You were taught God's precious word. Yes, you have heard all of this about this man called Jesus. How that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he shed his precious blood for sinners. But as far as you're concerned, my friend, it's just a name. Jesus. But you don't know him. You have never received him personally as your Savior. Here was a man, Saul of Tarsus, religious, but lost. And the sad reality is this, that across Ulster, this very Lord's Day, many people have been going to and fro from church. And they've gone through all the rituals of their particular denomination and they've bowed their head whenever it came to pray. And they've gone through perhaps the Apostles' Creed or whatever their denomination tells them to do. And they've read the scriptures and a man has stood in the front of them and they've heard him speak. And they've sung the hymns. And yet, there's something missing. They don't know the Lord. They've never received the one about whom they're reading. They've never received the one about whom they're singing. And all it is a head knowledge. But never a heart experience. Tell me, do you know the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior? Can you honestly say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but praise God, now I see. Have you seen the beauty of Christ? Have you seen the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sinners? Was a sacrifice for sinners like you? And have you rested your soul upon that finished work of Jesus Christ? Here was a man, friend. He was religious, but he was lost. And if he had died on that Damascus road with all his religion, he'd have went to hell. And friend, I say this before God tonight solemnly. You could come to faithful gospel preaching houses like the Free Church and never be saved. I remember a wee man many years ago in Macrofelt. When I came there first, he always attended the meetings. Boys, he came there, he loved Dr. Paisley, he loved this preacher, but he wasn't saved. And for years he came. I remember talking to him one day after many years had passed, and I realized he wasn't saved and he was still in a sin and he would never respond to the God. He had a great respect for it. Matter of fact, he used to go to the pub on a Saturday night. It was the Fox and Pheasant in Kern. And he used to go there on a Saturday night and he would sit on the bar stool and he would say to his mates, he says, you know, I'm going to McCrae's church tomorrow. And he said to them, you know, boys, do you know you need to be saved? He wasn't saved himself. Yes, he knew about the Lord. He knew about his need of salvation, but he wasn't saved. And I remember talking to him this day very specifically. And I said, listen, Matt, tell me, are you saved? He says, no, I'm not. I said, Matt, will you not come to Christ? You know what he said to me? He says, Mr. McCrae, let me tell you something. There's a woman who doesn't live far from me. And she goes to a church not far from me either. And she goes to the prayer meeting and she's got a big Bible under her arm. And that's your fact. He was only exaggerating. He says, the Bible's nearly as big as herself. And he says, let me tell you, she's the biggest hypocrite in the countryside. And he says, I don't need what she has. I said, stop, man. Stop. You see, whenever the day you stand before God, you'll not answer for her. It'll be you. And when you're asked the question, what did you do with Jesus, which is called Christ, and there he is upon the throne, what did you do with me? And the answer is, Lord, I rejected your salvation. Yes, I went to the Free Church. Yes, I sang the hymns. Yes, I listened to the preacher, but I never received you as my Savior. Then shall he say unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I said, Matt, no, you'll not answer for her. You'll find it enough to answer for you. Then praise God, the day came. And thank God, God opened Matt's heart. And he could gloriously see it. Tell me, are you here tonight, religious? And thank God you're here. It's lovely to have you here. And I trust you know you're welcome in the house of the Lord here. But listen, do you know Jesus? And from that time that the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus, from that day, his life was never the same again. And instead of persecuting the people of God, he wanted to preach Christ. And in the very place, Damascus, the very place that he had come to persecute the people of God, my friend, here was this man standing up before the people, and he was telling them that Jesus is the Christ. And proved to them that Jesus was the anointed Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. And from that moment, friend, in Saul's life, from that moment on to the day he died a martyr's death, he was out and out for Jesus. You know, when he came to the end of the journey, he was writing a letter, his last letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he said to Timothy this. He says, I've fought a good fight, Timothy. I kept the faith. Finished the course. Henceforth for me, a crown. He faced death, friend, unafraid. And even though he himself was being persecuted for the cause of Christ, he didn't carry a bitter heart. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And friend, my heart's desire and prayer for you tonight is this. That you'll be saved. And thank God Paul saw and had the joy of pointing many, many, many precious souls to Jesus Christ. But the sad reality was this, that there were those that he did come in contact with that turned and walked away and did not receive Christ. What an awful thing, friend, to go from the house of the holy, the house of God, and to die in your sin. What a tragedy. What an awful thing for a man or a woman or a person to go out into God's eternity knowing the truth of the gospel, hearing the gospel over and over and over again, and the pleading of the Spirit of God. And yet to walk away and to die in your sin. Because remember what Jesus said to the man, Luke's Gospel chapter 12. Or rather, Luke's Gospel chapter 16, about the man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. What were the words? Son, remember. Remember. And sinner, I'll tell you this, there's so much that you'll not take to hell with you. You'll not take your money. You'll not take your possessions. You'll not take your friends. Because hell's the place of outer darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. No, you'll not sit around the fire of hell and talk together about the bygone days. No, friend. In the lost eternity, you take your memory. And what an awful thing for a sinner in hell to remember the meetings in Coleraine Free Church. When the man stood in the pulpit and begged you to come to Christ, and the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and tugged at your soul and beckoned you to come to Christ, but you did not come. Some of the saddest words that Jesus ever uttered in John's Gospel was these: ye will not come to me, that you might have life,
You see, life eternal is in Christ. There is no life eternal outside of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, it will not matter what the preacher says at the side of your coffin. It will not matter what he says at the side of your grave. If you die in your sin, there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Eternal life's in Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are many roads to hell, friend. But there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. Alone. The church can't save you. Your baptism can't save you. Your confirmation can't save you. The rituals of your denomination cannot save you. My friend, nothing. Only Jesus. Thank God Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I want you to turn for a moment to chapter 18 of the book of Acts of the Apostles. The Bible tells us there the story. Paul has left. In Acts chapter 18, Paul has left Athens. That was a place that was given over to idolatry. And Paul now comes to a place in verse number 1, from Athens, departs from Athens and came to Corinth. Now, Corinth was a place that was a great commercial city. It was a city devoted to sport. It was one of the most popular places to live in those days when Saul or Paul was living. But it was a sinful city. It was a city that was given over to every evil sin and every evil device. In actual fact, the Romans looked upon Corinth as a place of the greatest evil. And yet God sent Paul there with a message of salvation. Do you know why, friend? You know what Jesus says? I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. And it's not until a man takes his place as a sinner or a woman takes her place as a sinner that they can ever be saved. Because if you never acknowledge your need of Christ, you'll never receive Christ. If you don't realize that you're lost, that you're still in your sin, that you're without Christ, and without Christ you're without hope, and you're going out into a lost eternity forever and ever and ever and ever until you realize your sin, friend, you'll never realize you need the Savior. So many people today and say, listen, tell that to the down and out. Tell that to the drunkard. Tell that to the gambler. Tell that to the whoremonger. Don't tell it to me. Sure, I'm in God's house tonight. Why do you talk to me like this? Let me say, God says there's no difference. All of sin. There's not a person here in this service that has not been stained, including the preacher, that has not been stained and scarred by sin, because the Bible says there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that can say, Lord, no, not me. And God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. And Paul comes to Corinth. And when he comes to Corinth, he links himself to a couple called Aquila and Priscilla. Now, why did he link? Because God so allowed it to be. Paul, every Jewish boy, had a trade. You were taught a trade as a young Jewish child. And Paul's trade was tent making. And whenever he came to Corinth, God directed him to a place where there was a man called Aquila and a woman Priscilla, and they were tent makers. In other words, he was able to help them in their work. And he did that because he was able to pay for his own keep. there in Corinth. On the Lord's day, he went to the temple. And whenever he went to the temple, he preached unto them and sought to preach unto them Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 6, they opposed themselves and blasphemed whenever he started to preach Christ. They didn't want it. They didn't want to hear it. And you know, there are multitudes tonight in Ulster, and they do not want to hear this message. Tell it to somebody else, but I don't need this message. And here we find that they even blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ in their hatred, opposing the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus was, verse 5, Jesus was Christ. And they blasphemed. And they mocked and they sneered at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul, it says this, he shook his raiment, verse 6, and he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I'm clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And Paul thought that his ministry in Corinth was over. But God said it's not. You know what happened, friend? The Bible tells us in verse number 7, he departed thence, that was from the synagogue, and he entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. It was beside the synagogue. Now, as far as his ministry in the synagogue was concerned, it was closed. And Paul thought that his ministry was over. And God says, no, go next door. And he went into the house of Justus. Now, notice this. This is God's laugh at the devil, friend. I always say, boy, doesn't the Lord have a really laugh at the devil? The devil says, work of God stopped. Throw him out of the synagogue. No place for him. Well, go to verse number 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. The chief ruler of the synagogue didn't find the Lord in the synagogue, but next door. Paul was preaching Christ next door. And although they had thrown him out of the synagogue, the chief ruler of the synagogue came into Justus' house and heard Paul preaching, and the Spirit of God worked upon his heart. And the Bible says that not only did he believe in on the Lord, but so did all his house. His whole family got saved. I tell you, the devil only thinks he's ruined. I can tell you, he only goes as far as the Lord lets him. No further. And not only did Crispus get saved in his family, look, it says, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And Paul thought his ministry was over. And yet in reality, it was only beginning. In actual fact, if you look at verse number 11, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. God says, no, you're not moving, Paul. You're not moving. I've got still a work for you to do. Now, the Bible tells us that something happened. A new ruler came. A new deputy came. And so the Jews, they sought to accuse Paul of insurrection. Verse 12. Verse 13, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And Paul was about to open his mouth to defend himself. And Gallio says, no, stop. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. And then the Word of God goes on to tell us that indeed there were those that sought, the Greeks that sought to gain favor with Gallio, and so therefore they take Sophanes, the ruler of the synagogue, and they beat him before Gallio. But notice verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sophanes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Sad to say, that's the reaction of many tonight with the gospel. They just don't care. See the vast number of people in Coleraine? I'll guarantee the vast number of people in Coleraine today have never been through a church door. Perhaps have been through the store door. Or maybe even the pub door. But they don't care that about Christ. They don't care. Tell me, could there be someone here tonight? And maybe you're in this service, and because you're invited to come. But to be honest, maybe there's a young lad, maybe there's a young lassie. Maybe you're here because your parents told you to come. But in your heart you say, listen, you see, when I get the age that I'm in control of my own life, I'll not be through the door. And all you think about is worldly pleasures. You remind me of the story of the prodigal, that whenever the father tried to guide his son at home, the son didn't want to hear. And when the father tried to give him instruction and give him the love of the home, my friend, let me tell you this, the boy, even at the home, his heart was already away in the far country. Couldn't wait to get away. Because far away fields are green. It's always greener on the other side of the hedge, isn't it? And young people, perhaps the old devil says, you know, listen, young fella, what you need is enjoy life. Have a good time. Get out there and enjoy the pleasures of the world. Yes, my friend, there are pleasures in the world. What had Moses said? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of the world for a season. Because that's all it is. Just a season. But there's nobody knows when the season's going to end. I've told this perhaps before. It's this past year. My sister-in-law out there in Perth, Australia. A young grandson was traveling down the road one day on his motorbike. He was coming home. Something happened. Something jumped out. Just 21 years of age. He swerved. Hit a pole. Listen, he was nearly home. And there he died along the roadside. The day he was buried was the day he was to be married. His young bride stood at the side, not of her young lover in the front of the church, to take him by the hand and to give her vows till death do us part. but to stay at the side of an open grave as she laid his body to Mother Earth. It wasn't to be that way, was it? See, the Bible says this, boast not thyself of next year. Is that it? No, no. Read the scriptures, friend. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? Tomorrow? Can I not boast about tomorrow? The word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day, a day, a day. One simple day will bring forth. You see, the pleasures of sin, the devil tells you, like the scripture says, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry many years. What did God say? Luke 12. Thou fool. You're only a fool for this night. This night. Thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, he planned to build, pull down the barns, build greater. In his mind and his heart, he had all the plans laid. Let me tell you, were the barns ever built? I don't know. If they were, somebody else built them. For God called him to eternity. As I stand in this pulpit, and I know time's away, and so much more I wanted to say tonight, but I appreciate your kindness in listening. As I stand in this pulpit tonight, you and I are on the same journey. Maybe I'm further along the road. Maybe not. Maybe not. Age means nothing. Young lad asked the preacher one day, what age have you to be to die? He gave him a ball of twine. He sent him out into the graveyard. He says, son, I want you to mark the graves. And when you come to the end of them, put a knot. And then when you come to the next one, put the knot. Come back and tell me what age you have to be to die. And the child come back, and between two of the little knots, it's just like that. It's the markings of a child. And then it was longer. Teenager, then longer still, an older person. You see, friend, any age, it's when God commands you to go, because there's a day to be born, a time to be born. And remember, there's a time to die. And God is sovereign on both of those days. Job said in chapter 14, God hath appointed a bounds. Not man. God, the sovereign God of heaven, the God who give you life, the God who give you breath, God hath appointed a bounds. Listen to this. That we cannot pass. God draws the line. I don't know why. God draws it sometimes. One day perhaps I will know, Jesus said to his disciples, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. But this I do know. The only thing that matters is you're ready to go. Gallio cared for none of those things. And even when Paul wanted to speak, he says, Paul, don't want to hear. Not interested. But down in hell tonight, there's that man Gallio. And my, how I longed to hear what Paul had got to say. But it's too late. Oh, turn while a Saviour in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbour light. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over God's deadline? Tonight, let me ask you, are you seeing? Are you seeing? Friend, if you're not, for all the world I wouldn't stand in your shoes. Nothing the world has got to offer is worth it. To lose your wealth is sad indeed. To lose your health is more. But to lose your soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the solemnity of this meeting. We thank thee for the reality of thy word. It's appointed unto men. Yes, appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will bring eternal realities before the hearts of every mum and dad, grand or granny, son or daughter, brother or sister. Eternity. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed tonight, in the closing second of this meeting, let me ask you a question. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You will accept or you will reject, but you will do something tonight. When there's the one in this gathering, you say, preacher, point me to Christ. Lead me to Jesus. Friend, I beg you in God's name, don't leave God's house without being dead on sure that you're ready for heaven. Speak to me after as others are going out. We'll open the Word of God together. We'll show you God's way of salvation. Don't let the devil fool you out of life, friend, eternal. But come and be saved. Heavenly Father, write thy word in every heart. Save the lost and restore the fallen. And do it for Jesus' sake. and for his glory.
To talk to us about spiritual things, I beg you in God's name, don't leave without the Lord. We're here to help you. I can't save you, but praise God, I can point you to the one who can. And his name is Jesus, Savior. May God bless you. If we never meet again this side of heaven, God grant we'll meet at the feet of Jesus. God bless you all.